actually killed, you're probably doing it wrong. So that's a really good cold open. I hope we got all of that.
Well,
so.
Going to a Brazilian steakhouse will also increase your chance of heart disease, depending on how many times.
But you chose that, and I would choose that every time. But
well, like, I did. I bring it up because I did it yesterday. That was our lunch, you know, at work.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic.
And I was like, well, I went to the gym.
I should suggest that at work. Holy shit. Oh, I'm going to take that suggestion. Awesome.
Well, we didn't quite make it the minute, but.
Yeah, right. Look, man, Brazilian steakhouses is worth it. So.
Yeah, so of the people I work with, because it's Colorado in modern day, we have a lot of people with weird, like, dietary restrictions, but everyone can eat meat more or less. Oh, no, one person's a vegetarian. Damn it.
Yeah, well, I mean, at our steakhouse, they also have, yeah, or fish, or they, but they have, they have like salad bars that go with it. They do have salad here. Yeah,
he'll sit in the corner and like cry at all of our piles of meat on everyone else's plate and just eat a poor salad or something.
So,
but like,
morally vegetarian, that's because that would be worse. Yeah, so
I'm pretty sure it's moral.
As often as not, I just run into the ones for dietary reasons. They're like, please devour all of them. I wish I could, you know, but.
Well, he's respectful of everyone else. It's just like, we're trying to also be respectful to him. And it's like, because we
bread
also have like, people
will
who
be
go
served in the break room.
Pack him a protein bar.
Yeah.
As long as it.
Yeah, I was going to say, they give you, you know, the little cheesy bread and there's rice. There's things he could, you know, carbo load on.
Yeah. Like how vegetarian, but yeah, like the ones that don't do honey, I think are my favorite because it's like,
oh, no,
I feel
stupid.
Like you've taken this way too far.
Well, those are, yeah, those are usually vegans that
want to. Oh yeah. I mean, but yeah.
So vegetarian is like much more reasonable, but vegans is where it gets stupid.
Yeah. But I'm sure they have like, you know, a subtitle or something like, is that a class 4 vegan or, you know, whatever it is. You know, or what is it? Pescatarians or whatever. That's like they eat fish, which still is hilarious to me because I'm like, why does fish not count as meat? And like, then I get hit with like scriptural reasons sometimes. And it's just like, but it is meat, right? Like scientifically, morally, everything, like it's meat, isn't it? You know, like. So anyway, this is the Dresden Files.
Fish is okay on Fridays for Lent and for some reason.
Right. But like, but why?
Because well, have you ever looked at a fish? Those things are fucking aliens. So obviously it's fine to
not only looked at a fish, I've caught fish, I've killed and cleaned fish. Like, you know.
Okay, so you're a monster. And now you know.
Yeah, but I mean, is he a monster for that reason?
Right. Like, does it really matter?
I'm going to tell you what I tell my kids when they start talking about monsters. The only thing that you need to be worried about coming out of your closet is another human being, because people are the real monsters. So, yes, I am a monster.
And now you have to make sure you are that human being one day to scar them for
life. I come out of the closet all the time. That's like one of the 4 good hide and seek places. So, yeah.
Okay.
You were going somewhere else.
I'm taking that the other way. Yeah. Happily.
I was going to let you have it until the end. So, you know,
It's because the director was too obvious about it. She wanted to go in for it. And I was like, no, you have to let this one settle.
I was stuck between like, I want to highlight it so everyone can see it. Also, I also don't want, just want to let it stand on its own. So I kind of messed up both sides.
You did. It's a wonder we let you
still highlighted. So,
we're supposed to have a topic today. We're trying to go back to our roots of Dresden after a long hiatus towards Codex Lyra, which was very fun. And we have future plans for Cinderspire. So next week we're going to be getting into Aeronauts Windlass, and Eugene is now going to be forced to read said Aeronauts Windlass book as he's been resisting
really
for years.
After all this time.
You mean like Cinderspires, which I have also not read?
No, you mean Codex. Aeronauts
Windlass. Ah, yes, Codex.
Right. Yeah, okay. It was like Aeronauts Windlass is Cinderspires. Okay. Whatever. Yeah.
If it starts with a C, I haven't read it.
I get it, but like I feel like, you know, I mean, my reasons were good for not reading Codex Alera, but you know. But Aeronauts Windlass, you were just like, this is dumb. I'm not reading a new thing, and then that's just where it's been for like 6 years? So
yes, but you we'll now EG has the understanding of how awesome Kitai is. He has a new favorite character. I think there's another character or two he would really latch on to.
You want me to become a fan of Raoul? Is that the cat's name, I believe?
Yeah.
Raoul. Yeah. So there's the Raoul cat, maybe. Better. Honestly, I think you might like Cavendish, which is the bad guy.
Right.
So
One thing for it is, like, I feel like all of the main characters are, like, not idiots. Like, that's one of their defining things.
I don't know if I'm going to get two series in a row where that's the case.
Well, no, but, like, a lot of, like, in Codex Alera, right, you had, like, Max was a blunt instrument. So he's not an idiot. He's really good at what he does. But what he does is knock down buildings a lot. You know, and, like, I guess you kind of get that. But it's, like, all of the characters are, like, decently competent and whatever, but there isn't like, oh well, this is Tavi, he's our idea guy and he solves all of the problems, he's the one that tells Max which buildings to put down, you know, and then this is Bernard who like got the plans for the mule, like that hasn't happened yet anyway, like everybody is at least good at what they do in their space, you know, as yes. opposed to like Dresden who is bad at everything except for magic, you know, and you know Tavi who is like all but a Mary good Sue for like, for you know, yeah, like, right. Yeah. That there you go. That's how they're opposites, you know? Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah. I will say that, the characters, they have a lot of intelligences. They do have a lot of flaws in how they think, but they're exploring that with each other, which I found really enjoyable. We'll get into this next week. Read the book. We're supposed to be talking about the Dresden Files, which we have like this very comforting type of topic that was just a suggestion of let's pitch the TV show. How would we design the TV show of the Dresden Files, starting with book one? And let's make the pitch. Let's be casting.
We've
Hollywood.
Done that bunches of times, but like you know, let's workshop it. Let's you know.
I'm sure we'll touch on casting, but like yes, yeah, we have done those sure. episodes, and now we have that in our arsenal of this person, no, that person, and this thing. Like, no, let's do like the pacing and what gets shown and what doesn't get shown, what gets changed. So
we'll have that alternate history where it's like Graham McTavish and Nicolas Cage star in, you know, the Dresden Files. So. I don't like the looks that I'm getting from you guys. You guys were accepting of that. That was supposed to be outlandish and ridiculous. So. I can tell which side of this I'm on. Jeez.
Listen, Nicolas Cage got to be a Spider-Man noir. So when we do the multiverse episode, because that's the thing these days.
Right.
It's perfect.
I mean, sure. Yes, we can. We'll even have Superman Nicolas Cage show up. And
let's you know, whatever, not do that.
But, yeah. Why not?
Because that's bad. Whereas this would be amusing.
Right. So along those lines, and maybe for our first fight, I don't know if I'm getting ahead of myself, but like, what style are we going to do? Like, because I don't think it should be animated.
No, I would vote there. For a live action HBO type thing where it was like 12 episodes, four episodes per book type deal.
13 episodes per book.
Oh my goodness.
Come on.
No, we're not doing 25 seasons of this thing. We have to sell this to a network. We can't do this.
Like the symbology of 13, like we could do it. And it would fit, it would actually feel like a some form of gift to the audience of someone who's like, hey, we're making a thing. We know this number is important, so we're gonna stick to it. Like not just 10 because
you can do
10...
13 episodes, but it's got to be like the first three books, then the next three books, then the next three books. You can't do
right.
one
I was
per
gonna
season.
Say, so per as book, right? as Let's a see. Fan, as a fan, funny. Okay, I'll hear. Hold on, golf clap. You know, so how are you gonna get 13 fucking hour episodes or whatever it's gonna be out of full moon and Stormfront? Yes. Like,
I mean, totally fair for. Stormfront, Full Moon, one season, 13 episodes. And then Grave Perils, where it kicks off, is one book for the whole season, because it's a really thick book, actually, for the early ones. It's got a lot of stuff going on in it. It's a lot more of the establishment things, but you can use the first 13 episodes of, we have Harry, we have Susan, we have Murphy, we have Marcone, we have bad guys and FBI. And like, it's just like, it could lead up to, here's the world now he's in at the end of the first season. and you have all that understanding, and then Griff Peril starts getting twisty.
You've skipped a book in there. Well, no, you haven't, because Grave Peril's three. I was thinking you said Death Masks for some reason. So I was like, you skipped one. But yeah.
I think you can make an argument for a full season per book when we come to the end. When it comes to the last three, maybe.
I
don't think we're going to be able to have the time. Because you got to remember, if we did this, then it's 25 seasons. These people are going to get old and die.
Right. That's true. Like,
that is another point for animated, because then they don't need to age.
I mean,
no, they'll still get old and die. You just won't see it on screen. There's a difference. Well,
right.
It's like, yeah, the power of voice acting can maintain quite a lot.
Yeah. Okay, so we condense it down to less than a decade to get this done. I'm kind of on board with EG's thing so far, you know, like four episodes a book, three episodes a book, you know, like it could be wobbly. I don't hate the idea of 13 if it's 13 episodes a season, you know, like if you did season one culminates up to Bianca's party, you know, I could see that. We still haven't answered the primary question. So are we going all in on the live action? Because there, I mean, we have to at least talk about the animated, and
There's pros and cons in either direction, right? So animated means that you already know how you're doing all of the magical effects. It's the same way that you're doing everything else. And so the cost of it can be budgeted easier, and you don't have something that completely throws it upside down. Mm-hmm. The things against animated is then you have to choose style. Then it has to be something that is hopefully appreciable to a larger audience, so you can get a larger following and make money back on it. And that's just going to be difficult to do. But on the live action side, even though it could be appreciated by a larger audience because of live action and CGI can look really good, you're still going to have issues of how is it going to look right with a live action mix of CGI? And are you going to handle the costs of that as things get crazier?
If only the author had thought of that and put in a bunch of things about how, like, a lot of magic isn't showy because that's sloppy. And, you know, Harry does a bunch of stuff, and he talks about how he's put in a little bit of stuff, but nothing that's going to require a special effects budget, you know? So like, I'm being cheeky, but you know, like,
yeah, because
what do we need to show? Like, you know, I guess the monster transitions, like the Red Court stuff would be a big one, but like fire, you know, like
the toad demon,
got a handle on that for a while. I mean, that could be practical. So
yeah, it's like, so I do think, especially in the early books, it's going to be less, and so maybe that gives you some theoretical chance of gaining some momentum and income to then spend more later. This is the kind of thing that you need to know how you're handling it before you start.
Yeah, that's why we started with that. Like,
that's so why we know we're in charge, obviously,
which direction to take the rest of it. See, I mean, HBO is the dream probably, but like Netflix is there too, and just whatever else. But it's like, you're going to tell me that you can't see, you know, a Stranger Things style standing right next to Dresden. Like, take Dresden, cut out Hopper, put Dresden in there. Boom. You know, what else do we need? You're going to tell me that what you saw in Stranger Things, that, you know, we couldn't have those kinds of special effects and that kind of reality and that kind of whatever with Dresden Files. And that's just one of the more popular ones. Of course, I guess I'm wearing the appropriate shirt for it this morning. But you know, like, yeah, I kind of want to like see it go all in on the rated R, almost, like, not to the point where it's just it needs to be like, you know,
we really need Dresden fighting a toad demon completely naked. Like,
well, and I mean, even if we do it from like the waist up or whatever, I don't need to see a man's junk while he's running or whatever. But I'm just saying, like,
you just don't appreciate art.
What more I'm thinking about is the opening scene, right, where he goes to the murder and, you know, like, at least silhouetted, like, you know what's going on, you know, like.
No, I do agree. I mean, it's just my personal preferences of like go the some form of HBO route and go without any, like, no holds barred, show everything that's relevant, maybe even show too much, just in fact of like get it the point driven home of how dark it's going to be,
Well, that would be the opening, right? Probably would, you would show them like hooking up and then the murder of in an ambiguous ish way, blood splatter, this, that, and the, you know, your typical kind of, and then it would be like, cause it depends on how you want to do the tone. Like, all right, that's dark and serious. And then you can start it with either, you know, they go and they find, and we got to call this guy. And like, you don't even show Dresden for the first 20 minutes, or you show him doing something else unrelated to it. And then he gets the call, you know, we could, this stuff we're going to have to make up too.
You could still keep in the like mail delivery, you know, scene. I think that just kind of sells like who this guy is to the world. Nobody, you know, nobody cares. Right. But I do like the idea of starting out with the murder more or less, because like, I don't know that Walking Dead started with it, but it was one of the things that I told everybody when Walking Dead came out, and I've seen a bunch of other shows do, which is like in the first 5 minutes, they tell you what kind of show it is.
Exactly. And, that is exactly, you know, what we need to do.
Right. And so like in the first 5 minutes of Walking Dead, they shoot a child zombie, and it's just like, if you cannot hang for those first 5 minutes, get out now, you know?
So a heart coming out of these two people being ripped out by a magic spell is...
But like the whole thing, like we can focus on that, sure. But it's just like, you know, like you said, show them hooking up. Mm-hmm. Show, you know, we're going to do at least partial nudity if that's what we're going to do, you know, culminating in the blood splatter and whatever, like if that's the direction that, you know, we're deciding here. And I you know, I want people to like, that's another question. How are we going to deal with the internal monologue, right? Are we going to imply it, you know, because it's like, you should be able to see Harry Dresden slam the doors on his screaming subconscious when he walks into this murder scene, right? Because that's a very poignant scene from the books and everything like that. Or do we have somebody narrated over the top? You know,
I mean, it could be done by a very skilled actor. I don't know how they do that, but it's like that type of implication can actually be handled by actors without needing something like a narration. But narration is also where you get that noir feel that this was harkening back to. Like a lot of the noir movies and the word this is building off of does have some kind of narration, so that's a weird choice because I think it's fallen out of current style.
The other way to do it is kind of a middle ground where you do it like House of Cards, where you break the third wall. Yeah,
sure.
Okay.
Well, and I was trying to think back to Chinatown, right? Because you had us watch that, and that's one of the more quintessential, you know, noir films and everything.
Yeah. And it didn't have a narration. It just showed him doing the detective work. And then there would be someone he's explaining things to in a snarky manner. And that can also perfectly be fine. Like show someone that is like struggling to deal with the horror in front of him and then get cold and analytical and then explain things to Murphy.
Right.
You could do that.
Right. And right now that's kind of where I'm inclined to go, you know, because I mean, I kind of like the idea of a narration, but I don't know of a situation where it's ever really worked, you know, where it hasn't been campy or, you know, just like where it's fully added to, you know, the situation, right?
The House of Cards example is really interesting. When it was good, House of Cards did really interesting things with it. And that could be a kind of middle ground because Harry does talk to himself. He talks to his id and like... You could play with that as a theme,
you know,
or just in general of like, now I got to get out of bed and I don't want it. And I'm going to complain out loud type of thing. Like that's what's the type of thing that he will do.
Mm-hmm. I mean, especially if he wants to think through a problem, you know, that's a good way to do the legwork too. You involve the audience in that way.
Right. And this also leads to like the purpose of, and what we can use for Bob.
Right. Now, yeah, I mean, the more you guys talk about it, the better that feels to me is that, you know, instead of having a narration, it's just we focus in more on his conversations with other characters and how he's working it out and show it that way, you know, and that could save time as well. You know, it's going to blow up the budget a little bit because now we got like three actors where one could have done. But, you know,
that's the kind of quality that helps, like, especially if you have the actors and they have the right chemistry and they're actually like driving things through. That is the better version of it instead of trying to use narration as a band-aid.
So Bob's a skull, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Just, you know, make it sure.
I did enjoy Bob in the TV show as a tactic, because trying to say budget, probably he was fun. He was enjoyable, but Bob's a skull.
Right.
Dude, you just have to go back to like Halloween Town when they did the, you know, the animation of that skull cab driver or the skeleton cab driver and just, you know, boost it up to make him a head. And
I mean, they did fine in Harry Potter with the shrunken head. Like, I don't know. Less animations, less budget, you know?
Yeah, but Bob, like, you're going to... Well, I mean, that's the thing with Bob is, you know, he can do things like whistle even though he doesn't have lips. So you don't even need to show that necessarily. Or if you do, you can just make the sound effect. And he's like, how do you do that? You can even comment on it.
Right.
Yeah, so that would be fun.
You could easily just be stationary most of the time and just be lights and sound. Right.
Yeah.
The real budget blow up is going to be a cat trainer.
Yeah. And then whenever you get to Mouse, you're going to have two or three dogs probably that are really, really big.
Those are all six episodes down the line. We can have those arguments.
I was going to say, they've been making dogs do facial expressions and weird things since before Beethoven. Like, that's relatively easy considering.
Yeah.
You just have to have a dog look up and then have the stock sound of like half the time and you're fine.
So are we, I mean, I want to settle on the format thing. Like, did we convince you enough that we're okay going live action for this adaptation, or do we still need to do battle?
I guess the caveats of HBO fully R rated, we're going to show everything as much as possible, 13 episodes a season, and figure out how many books goes into that. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You're getting Codex animated. You get something.
Yeah.
Say what?
You're getting
Codex animated.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Which, I mean, yeah, would probably be fine. I don't know. It's not something I can fully put my finger on, but I just don't. There aren't like a lot of animated shows that I've taken seriously on that level, if it makes sense. I need to go watch Arcane, because that's one in the back of my head that I'm like, if we were to do something animated or something like that, maybe
it would be that.
This. Mm-hmm. But to me, it's always still like a cartoon, you know, and like, I haven't seen enough of, you know, anime where it's just been like, you know, like we talked about Berserk and whatever. And like, obviously I've seen some scenes from it and whatever, but it's just like, it just doesn't have the same gravitas to me. Maybe it just doesn't bring the same impact, you know.
I do think it's just a prejudice that will beat out of you. But
maybe someday when I'm dead. So
she said beat, so we're either going to, you're either gonna, you know, conform or die. So
I'm gonna quote one of my all-time favorite heroes to you: more weight. So bring it.
Yeah, Ben is already threatened.
No, that wasn't Ben. Ben didn't say that.
No. Ben is bringing the weight of One Piece.
Yeah.
One Piece what?
You missed it last week, but yeah, Ben really wants to have us do like a One Piece segment. So, because apparently that's hot right now.
On what, the show? Because that's doable. Yeah. On
like,
the...
while we weren't recording. One Piece.
Yeah, no, just
anime.
Go through the entirety of One Piece.
I was going to say, if we're going through the entirety of the, even just the anime, forget the manga, which is fucking still ahead of that. No.
Right. Well, yeah. So you really should have been there, because I came to your defense or defense of your ideas quite a bit, because they didn't want to go through a single trilogy of books for freaking Star Wars, but we're going to go read 100 chapters of One Piece, you know, so
it's over 1,000.
Yeah.
Like,
well,
we were talking about like breaking it up into multiple pieces of One Piece. Yeah. It's like, we're trying to be nice, but we will at some point be going into FMA Brotherhood, because Justin's got to get over his issues with anime. And
I was going to say, I think the One Piece Netflix show would be a good, because that can springboard into another topic of adaptations and like why all the other ones were shit, but everybody likes this one and what the difference is. Because, you know, like,
then I think it was the. I don't want to.
They're not, it's not, I, well, I can't say that for you. I enjoyed the Netflix One Piece. I thought it was fun.
Yeah. Okay, I haven't watched that one, admittedly, but the, this is such a tangent. We should save this for later, but the well, Cowboy Bebop bullshit. Like,
you're right. That, and, but that's the thing. That's
why
you're
so painful.
You go through that and you say why this one shit.
I don't trust Netflix anymore. We're sticking with HBO.
Which is fine.
HBO.
Yeah, Netflix is some good stuff.
And I like some anime, just not as a rule, you know? So,
yeah. Well, like, I shouldn't have this prejudice.
I guess thinking about it, it's like if we did a Ghost in the Shell, you know, style. For Dresden,
what, the anime, and then the Scarlett Johansson movie.
Yes, yeah. Look, I, so if we cast her as Harry Dresden, I would still go watch it. So I'm just saying, I had to be ridiculous.
I mean, I know it's 2023, but we still probably have to call her Harriet because
whatever gets
it
greenlit.
Otherwise, that's what I'm saying.
I'm willing to make that sacrifice as long as she still dates, you know, Susan and Murphy. That's fine. So, anyway,
but then Susan and Murphy are guys in this scenario.
Also fine. It he can be a boy named Susan. That's fine.
Well, Murphy's a lot easier because it's just Murphy. That's a fucking dude's name anyway.
Right.
Yeah. All right. So season one, we have.
Oh, werewolves are topless anyway. I don't. That's not.
We're gonna do both Stormfront and Full Moon. And so this is Harry Dresden, like, getting used to his new position-ish of, because he doesn't start completely new in the world, but he's basically making a name in these two books of someone that has to be dealt with. Because this is the first two foils that he's done to Black Council, bad guys, everything like that. And that's why first season of that one is going to be more significant. Mm-hmm. So we have the whole Victor Sells arc and Morgan and
the introduction of Marcone and Bianca is the sub stuff, right. That would be.
Yeah.
I was just thinking for a screen test or a script test for the audition for Harry, they should do the Shadow Man and Harry in the street. They don't have to be nude for this, you know, audition. I'm not going for that.
Yes, they do.
We have to know what we're working for with. The scene. Yeah, for the scene, fine, whatever. But for the audition, because I want one of the lines that I want to get in there is the whole like, wait, how did you do that? I went to school, you know, and just make sure that they've got the right, you know, gravitas for that. But also that you underestimate them, you know, would be a good thing for the first episode where it's just like, you know, because that's Harry Dresden book one. Like he's barely out of school, like you said, you know, like he's still around. He's been working with, you know, Murphy. You know, they've obviously done the, you know, Faith Astor case and everything like that. But you're right. Like, I guess he hasn't really tackled anything entirely noteworthy. They're just like, we think magic done killed these people. What do you think? And he's like, shit, I don't know. Probably. Like it seems like something magic could do, but I couldn't do it, you know? So,
well, it's good because a lot of the first few encounters are him being essentially overwhelmed. Right. So like you would have the thing with Bianca where he just makes it out because he had a hanky with sunshine in it. You know, you've got the encounter where he's summoning Toot-Toot and Morgan comes and totally scares the shit out of him. So you've got probably like half the season until he finally gets into his element. And then you could have that turn in that fifth or sixth episode where he's taking on Cells for the first time. And it's or third episode, whatever it is.
Right.
For the first time. And he's like, oh, no, he can do things when you put him in his element. And then obviously, as time goes on, he gets better and this, that and the other thing. But like the first couple where he's just kind of struggling to pay his rent and flailing around, you don't expect necessarily that he's going to be able to throw a punch like that.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, towards that thing, like a thought that occurs to me and we were talking earlier, it's been about 3 years since I've read the books. So like, I don't have them engraved in my DNA anymore at the moment, but like, what if the first episode, like, so you've got the murder scene, he gets picked up by Marcone immediately after, and then thrown in with Bianca. And so the entire first episode is like, I'm out of my depth and I'm a little fish and I almost got eaten. And so, like, you get a semi-climax at the end with him trying to blast her with sunlight. Like, I don't think that's the exact thing of the book.
So,
but I think that would tie in.
Let's see. We open up with the murder, and then we get the mail delivery scene just to establish.
Sure.
Here's Harry Dresden, and he's an idiot. And then he's out of his depth, and then he's got...
He's a nobody. He's still, They'll have to figure out he's an idiot.
Yeah, but he's way behind on his rent, and he's way out of his depth, and then he has that showdown with Marcone, and it doesn't work, but you still need to get him to talk to Monica Sells first, and then he can immediately go to Bianca and then run into the monster, and that can be the end of the episode, if you have enough minutes for that.
Sure.
Well, we got to throw in Monica's... Murphy bringing him into the scene.
Right,
sort of important.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. No, that's the middle, you know, in my opinion, right?
Like,
no,
I mean, we're basically going in the same order as the book opens, but just kind of like moving Bianca early so that you have the vampire reveal, which is fine.
Well, and like I said, it gives like it's more action, and it fits in an entire theme of he is a little fish that is out of his depth. You know, it just kind of sells that. And then, you know, like the next episode can be a fair bit of the investigation. It could be summoning Toot Toot and whatever.
Right. And so then, if he learns from Bianca who Jenny Sells, right, who she was and some of the background, and then she does some more of the investigation, but it leads to a dead end in terms of interpersonal stuff. And then he does the magical investigation with Bob of writing that report that he's trying to give Murphy and then has to give her the bad news and stuff. Like, put the lulls in the middle of the episode of that type of investigative stuff.
Or at the beginning, you know, like we could save the report delivery for like the beginning of the next episode, you know.
I guess I was imagining it that it like the first episode would end with Bianca attacking him, and then the next episode would start with him defending against her.
Oh no, no! I want that fully resolved at the end of the first episode. Like I want the flash of sunlight and everything like that. Like that's what I'm thinking. That because you're bookending it with the action, right? You start out with the like, holy shit, they just showed that on television murder. And then you end with him getting jumped so that you're like, yeah, I mean, there's something to be said trying to shoehorn Jin's kind of cliffhangers in here, but I'm thinking like, oh my God, you know, that was an amazing ending to that episode. Now I'm hooked and I have to watch the next episode to see how they're going to top that or where it's going to go next.
And it should probably be his first real use of magic too. Like everything else,
everybody's
there should be nothing the rest of the episode. It may be some sleight of hand, but...
And at the murder scene, you have to lay it on heavy with Carmichael calling him a charlatan, and nobody actually believes that he can do anything, you know. And then when he whips out the handkerchief, you're like, oh shit, maybe he's for real, you know. Which of course all the fans know, but you know,
So I guess it. Justin, you're gonna go to script writing school, right? Because I realize I'm just kind of pulling from TV shows that I'm used to watching from when I was a kid. And they would do that cliffhanger of like, oh, the big bad is right here. And then it ends.
Sure.
And it's like, that's just because it's been done doesn't mean that it should be continued because House of Cards, I think is a great example. They didn't always do that. And they still had something to draw you into the next episode of what's going to happen next. And it was a lot less cheesy and ham-fisted. So let's not do ham-fisted if we can avoid it.
Well, like I guess I can see where you're at, and I would need to see what like the next couple episodes would shake out before we could bump it one way or the other. Yeah. But you know, like I like the idea at first glance of all of the action being up front. I think you're coming at it from like a fan's perspective for the drama, because you know he's there, you know what's coming, and you're like, well shit, now I gotta wait till next week, or now I gotta binge the next episode. Because let's be honest, going back to this weekly model in streaming is stupid, and all of you should stop doing it. Disney,
there's pros and cons to it.
It's stupid. No,
it's pros and cons to it, and it's not what's something to just be. It did create a cultural moment of everyone waiting at the same time of what's going to happen next.
And instead that's important because
it actually created a sense of following.
Right. I mean, it does do that.
It does. And so it's like that kind of like waiting for, and everyone's talking about it. That is like, if everyone's just binging it all at once, it's over. And it's better to.
There's still a cultural moment. It's just all up front at one time. You know,
I would actually prefer this to be weekly and to get more of that following for a longer period of time for people to be talking about it.
Going back to Arcane, they did 3 episodes at a time, so it was 3 separate releases. It was 3 and then a week or whatever it was, and then 3 and then a week. So you get, and those were like chapters. They bookended it like that, which if we're doing this book split up thing, could also work in that way. I mean, there are elements, you know, we can move events around. Like if you want a cliffhanger ending for an episode, Morgan drawing his sword and saying he's going to mete out justice is a good end of episode.
Episode 2. Right. Like, sure. Because,
right.
I mean, that's kind of what happens anyway, but like Morgan is going to be an interesting thing because his position in Stormfront is the cop that Harry's running away from. But then at the end, Morgan has to defend Harry and then he disappears. He doesn't come back for book 2, but that framing of Morgan, I think, is important. And so if we're combining Stormfront and Full Moon, Morgan should be an antagonist throughout the entirety of the season. And so perhaps move his defense of Harry towards the end, at the end of Full Moon.
Yeah, I mean, you could have him shadowing and like an observer to the Loop Guru stuff at the end too. That would be, you know, obviously this stuff we're going to have to write in or change up, and you can always add things that weren't there before. Mm-hmm. So it's again, you know, now the FBI is involved, so Morgan's popping up as the wizard alternative, where it's like, well, this is now getting really serious because mortal government is getting involved and we need to keep our eyes on this.
If Harry still has the Doom of Damocles over him during the events of Full Moon, and then he uses the wolf belt, which is black magic and something, and it's like corrupted him, and then Morgan can have a really good reason of like, you are extremely dangerous and maybe I should kill you before you do something worse. It ties into all the reasons that Morgan was a dick in the first place.
Yeah. It's just, now, I mean, you'd have to, because he's going to be that way pretty much up until Deadbeat. And even then, he's still, you know, at the end of that is when he's sort of has a little bit of a turn of the corner on Dresden.
Well, and as much Dresden on him. So he shows up again in Summer Night. Where else does he show up in after this?
Summer Night, and then it's Deadbeat.
It's Deadbeat. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. No, I was challenging that because I was like, that's what I remembered. But like, and he's incidental to the story in Summer Night. It's just like, he's present because he probably should be. But I was just thinking like, it's going to be fucking weird to have this guy not show up for 4 seasons after he was such a big deal in episode 2. So,
well, you could easily put him in the aftermath of Grave Peril too, where like, he could be the one that comes in at the end to be like, you know, we're at war now because of you.
Yeah. Yeah. I do like, the sense of characters just kind of like dropping off for books, like that is something that TV shows probably shouldn't do quite as much. I mean, Game of Thrones managed it, just the fact that they had to do the previously on and here's all the places that we're going to be, and they had to do that just as the cast is so large. And you might need to do something like that anyway, but Morgan should probably be around for a more presence. And the same thing with Marcone. Marcone doesn't get to drop off for a book. He's got to be there almost every season. Because
he doesn't show up in Full Moon? Yeah, he does.
No, he does.
He does show up in Full Moon.
Yeah.
And
he's very briefly.
I was going to say, this is not as much of an issue for Marcone because he's in most of them.
He's a cameo because does the varsity happen in book 1 or like he's got something like that in book 3 as well, where Dresden goes to challenge him and, you know, Marcone's like, hey, we put in those, you know, break off doors for you just in case you kick it in again, you know, or whatever. So
I think it was in book 1 when Harry tracked one of Marcone's thugs, tracked him to the place that Marcone was there. They had a showdown and that guy died and Marcone burned the place down and blamed Harry for it. But then that place got rebuilt. But so he's in book 2.
There's the one where he like blows up all the lights when he goes into, like he hexes all the lights. And I don't, I don't remember if that's 1 or 3.
I think it's 1 because I can't fully remember Marcone being in 3. But I feel like he should be. like
because Grave Peril for some reason is the one I don't have.
So. Well, we have the encyclopedia.
You can put him in three more. Maybe he had more to do with Kravos when Kravos was alive as a.
He can have something more to do with Kravos. He could have, he could be poking around Bianca. He could be at Bianca's party because he's trying to edge his way towards being Baron of Chicago. Like you can, I think you can insert Marcone in places and you need to keep him a relevant character. And it's not quite as dire to the same level as Morgan, but we can't just have Morgan just drop off.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But we can't have Murphy drop off. That'd be fine.
No, unfortunately not.
We don't have to shoehorn her into Deadbeat. Sorry.
No, that's fine. No, I think that we should have little cameos of her in Hawaii with Kincaid, whatever that story is.
Yeah, she can send a postcard. That's fine. What's she going to do? FaceTime him? He can't use technology.
No, yeah. No.
Just send him a picture, a Polaroid. So, yeah.
No, have Kincaid send it.
There you go. Like, who took that picture? Ah, damn it. Yeah.
So, Grave Peril being one full season, I think, is a good idea because there's a lot of stuff that happens in it. And it's kind of hard to remember everything at once because then you get Michael and the entire Carpenter clan. You get Kravos and everything that's going on with the baby and the ghosts and Leah and Thomas. And like you cannot short circuit that story at all. It needs like its own space, I think, to establish everything that's so important about it. And the like episode 6 or 7 climax being the party, and then now they have to deal with the rest of the season for getting out of it.
Yeah, but 13 episodes?
Yes.
like how long? So just so we're clear, how long is the audiobook? So like, you know, 14-ish hours, and you're saying 13 hours worth of video just to make sure we get through it all. I'm saying we could probably trim on that. Like, I'm going to start you with 6, and I want to see if we can get it down lower than that. And not obviously, I want to do all the things. I'm going to hire James Marsters to reenact it in my fucking living room. Like, okay, fine. But, you want to do it right. You know, on both sides. Yeah,
it doesn't need bloat. You know? But if we get approved for 13 episodes, then we can like, okay, maybe we only need 9. But, you know.
No. Yeah, no, because Deadbeat's another one. Like, how are you going to get that condensed? But, like, I mean, I'm going to say it, even though he's a detective and that sort of thing, I think a lot of the investigation stuff you could probably, you know, skip through some of that where it's just like, hey, guess what? We showed him doing the investigation. We showed him talking to his contact. We showed him doing his homework.
Style. Like, that so could take
5 minutes instead of
50. But thinking of Chinatown, it's like they didn't short it down. They actually showed it and they spent time with it. Like it was important to feel all of the investigative work that he was doing with the amount of time that you're watching. And it was like really silent. It was really like, you had to pay attention to it. It's not gigantic action scenes. And I think that's a stylistic choice of how much are you going to lean on that. And I would say, please do a lot more of that because I really love it. But
I would, same thing as the giant
action scenes.
I would probably permit more of it than like a normal person would. Right. That's not what I'm saying. But also, Jack didn't have magical powers, and you know there's going to be something to be said for at the end of the episode there's going to be a giant explosion, you know, or there's going to be a blinding flash of light, or you know, whatever the case may be.
And
you know,
my counter would be, since later on in the series we start moving away from investigations like that, if we do too much of it and front load it, then everyone's going to complain that as time goes on we lost the roots. Mm-hmm. Versus having scaled back. It's integral and it's important, and we can even add elements of it to the other stories that don't have it as much going forward. But maybe instead of 60-40 investigation, we do 40-60.
Sure. Yeah.
Something that is important is just getting the atmosphere right. And that is, it's a very vague statement because it's too many things involved in it.
So we're shooting on location is what you're saying.
in Chicago. Yeah. Easy. Yeah. So there's shootings every weekend. So sorry. Inappropriate.
But true.
Yeah. Right.
So getting everything to feel in the right way of it, it feels like the spooky thing. It feels like werewolves are chasing after you, and all of the details that go into it, it is basically saying you have to get the execution of this whole thing correct for it to succeed, because that's how integral it is to success and how difficult it is to achieve. But that's where all of the other choices have to lead up to. It's like, how much do you lean in on the investigation? How much do you lean in on the magical explosions? All of that is a component.
Right.
Just blow everything up.
Eventually.
We're going to have to start doing that eventually anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. But like small explosions first. Let's let him like get bigger explosions.
Well, season one's easy because the explosions are like people.
Right. Well, that in like, you know, a building burns down, like that's the biggest thing that happens in book one. Like he uses precious little magic, you know, in Stormfront.
Yeah, I think the flashiest stuff would be what? Like the lightning bolt to kill the toad demon, you know, kill.
That's true. Yeah.
The sweeping of the scorpions.
Sure.
Yeah. And then I guess the slugfest at the lake house afterward would be kind of flashy, but you could also keep that lower. You know, mostly just force push and fire.
Right. And the light blast with Bianca's. But again, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, that could be practical. Like that.
Yeah, that's bolt. It's flashy, yeah. But it's not in the same level as, you know, that's like cool versus summoning lightning and channeling it and shooting a toad demon.
Right. Yeah.
Because we're going to have to worry about blowing the budget when it comes to like,
in terms of,
I mean, even the stuff like killing the loop guru is like, it's a light pendant, you know,
right?
You're just shooting a piece of metal at a thing.
Yeah, but that is for something that the budget's going to lead. Like that loop guru needs to be terrifying and not comedic looking.
There's an easy solve for that though, actually. Like you start out with Dresden's perspective just to get enough. But then you cut to the media crew's perspective where they're filming it, and then it goes grainy and starts to be like, and then you're like, oh my God, it looks cheesy. But that's literally the point.
Because but just like even when it's in Dresden perspective, like that moment where it's like running down the hallway and about to murder Murphy, it's so cinematic in my head. Like that needs to be extremely well done.
Well, that's a good thing about it is we really only need two episodes of that. We need the police station and then we need the end, because the rest of them can all be in shadows or it could be in like side eye scene
area. You have Will and Georgia, you know,
like it's also in black and white
part of it
from Dresden's perspective, you know,
but like, it breaks when a loop guru looks at him because it doesn't it doesn't get fooled.
And what a fucking cool moment that would be watching that on TV, right?
Well, that would be a good episode. You do it all in black and white until he looks at him.
Exactly. You do it in black and white, and then the color comes on, and you're like, I just peed. Like, Dresden's running now. Like, you know.
Yeah. Oh, you've got to have the feeling of loss from Carmichael. Like, I thought he was a shithead. No, he was a good guy with the facade of a shithead.
Right.
But that means we have to establish that they're on either really old computers or even typewriters, so that when this episode comes and they've all got like a cigarette in the police station office and it feels very
right,
very on point.
Just film it outside. It's fine.
And we have to have at least one person there who's 3 days from retirement who's going to get killed.
Carmichael.
Fine. That's fine. You know what? Carmichael is 3 days from retirement. It's perfect.
Yeah. No, it truly is. And then.
Or 3 months. We'll make it a little less.
Right.
Less than a year.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Why aren't people giving us money? Why aren't we doing this already? Let's right. go for it.
This is just the one episode, like, or, you know, the first couple. I mean, Full Moon's going to be fun for some of that. We got to get past the, like, do we end the episode on Harry getting arrested? You know, like that could be a fun thing.
Yeah. But, one of the episodes should be that reveal. And then, you know, the punch and the arrest and all that. And then the next episode starts essentially like 5 minutes in, he's running in the woods with McFinn and all that shit.
Yeah.
Right.
So there's one thing about the investigation stuff that like, if this gets translated into the being on the screen, in detective work and Stormfront was kind of shit. So let's make that better. Sure. It was really kind of whimsy and not the greatest. So of that of what Dresden was doing, you could tighten it up.
It ties into the theme of that, which is he's a little fish. He's out of his depth. And then he can surprise you, you know, towards the end. But before I lose it, I wanted to pivot back to the whole to full moon and everything like that. But it's like, just to submit it, and also because it's funny, maybe we should do the internal monologue, because when he gets tied up with Marcone and they're dangling over the pit and whatever, I want to harken back to the 80s with the whole, like, you're probably wondering how I got into this situation, and then freeze frame, and then, like, come on, that's hilarious.
See, one thing about Dresden is that he's so much of a dork, he would just say that out loud, and then everyone would roll their eyes at him. So you don't need to...
Well, that's the other option is if we go the route where he's sort of slightly breaking the third wall and talking to us. You can open the full moon thing with that shot, with that line, and then we do the rest of the season as is.
That'll be your opening until attention you get getter. Because I was
and then, and then in that start of that episode, he kind of looks at you and he's like,
yeah, right.
And then it carries on for the finale.
That would be pretty funny to jump that like four episodes early. So you're just like, wait, go back to the, what the hell is going on? Because, you know, otherwise I feel like it kind of starts with, you know, Kim Delaney's lunch. And it's just like, that's not, you know, that's not grabbing.
Well, yeah. So you can end the Stormfront stuff with like another offer from Marcone type deal. He rejects it. And then the very next thing is like, they're tied up together in some scenario. And you're like, wait, what the fuck? How did this happen? And then it goes like 2 weeks earlier. You know, whatever it is, and then
3 days earlier, something. It's not too bad. Yeah, Kim Delaney's lunch is not very grabbing. It sets up important things we need to know about the rest of the book, but like, can you open with dead people first? Can we start with what Murphy walks in on and the murders and the Lobo killings, and then transition to Kim Delaney's lunch?
You can. I kind of like the idea of it's just sort of this preposterous scenario to something mundane.
Right.
But you kind of, because you can jazz up the conversation to make it like he's clearly uncomfortable about the topic, but he's trying not to be, to throw her off the scent. And then you're like.
I think ultimately you're both right, in the sense that it would add to the investigation. Murphy is investigating the Lobo killers and everything like that. Harry is in the bar with an alibi because he later gets accused of being involved with it. And so it'd be like, I was in public at the bar, like clearly not involved with this stuff. Not that Murphy stops to actually do any detective work for anything like that. But yeah, I think you can do both, and we can figure out a way to like have
That's really good.
Either one lead to the other or split in, you know, like maybe we do one of those, like the scenes are synchronized to the clock, you know, that you cut to this scene and it's like, you know, at noon, and then you see Murphy looking at her watch at noon, you know, or whatever. So
So if we stretch out Morgan's involvement for the entire first season and not just first book, and so maybe Harry has more of a reason why not to help Kim Delaney because he's afraid of Duma Damocles still. If he's not free of it, and that's why he has to be more reticent, it gives him better reason why he's being a pighead about it.
Yeah, okay.
Because
you want to
modern
move the
times.
Whole, yeah. You want to move the whole Duma Damocles thing like after Bianca's, maybe? Or
no.
Well, I mean, he has to be clear of it by then, right? Otherwise he's getting killed, because it's like just started a war.
I think the way to frame Morgan throughout the whole season of that, and so it's like after the Loop Guru, and Harry's proven that, so he's used the wolf belt and it's black magic and it's bad, but he gives it up, and Morgan can take that as a type of on its face good faith actions. I'm apparently really tired right now, losing all my words.
But you're getting an hour, so you're fine.
That can be proof for Morgan to say that, okay, Dresden's not a bad guy right now. He should have it removed. He's proven himself. He's helped innocence or something like that. Like, he's defeated black magic and here's proof twice, and Morgan doesn't like it.
Oh, yeah, but it goes in the report and it just makes him look better than it should.
Yeah. Right. And but all of the times when Dresden is refusing to explain anything to anybody and refusing to allow a woman to defend herself, you gotta work your ways around it.
Which part is that? I'm assuming full moon and
mostly full moon, but like any of the times he's not explaining to Murphy or like giving any of them the ability of like, I'm not telling you because this is too dangerous. Like give them the ability to understand things, like sure. with Susan, with Murphy, with Kim Delaney.
Right. Which, you know, would be a bit more fun again, leading into, you know, I guess, that's not until Summer Night, the whole chlorophened and the Walmart thing. Mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm. like Jesus, we got to get through all of Grave Peril before.
Yeah. But since that's still a driving point of Grave Peril, make it a problem, make it really, really hurt. And so you can bring Murphy in even earlier in Summer Night.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is a problem, but she also spends like most of it unconscious. So, you know, but that's a way to avoid having to deal with it.
Book.
Early on, but well, we're getting all over the place, so yeah.
But like, I think we've got.
We're doing this for 80 episodes, so it's fine. We don't need to do it all in one.
I'd say that we've covered a plan for season one in like half of season two. So we'll start with season two next time, and then let's see how that lays up because the whole Great Peril. Confident.
Like I think we've got a solid first episode. I'm not convinced on the next three, you know, as far as like pacing.
You want to start like writing the script?
Well, I've got notes here. Like what are the five or six things that go into like episode one? And, you know, if Bianca's thing like scoots one side or the other, you know, we can figure that out on time and pacing and whatever. And if we're doing it for a streaming service, then if it's an hour and 15 minutes for the first episode, that's acceptable. Right.
Yeah.
You know?
The second episode is only 40 minutes for some fucking reason.
Right.
That Justin is being more detailed than I am. It's not me this time.
I've got notes and like
All right.
I've got a section for full moon jumping down because like we're way ahead of talking to full moon, in my opinion. Okay. Like
we put far too much thought into full moon, I must say. It's disconcerting. Yeah.
But it's
what's crazy about it is we're going to make Full Moon a good story. Like
we're going to have to. There's like four different versions of werewolves running around.
Yeah.
Right.
We get to meet Harry's id.
Yeah. I like parts of Full Moon, like talking about the, you know, the attack on the precinct, of course, is huge. Right. But man, the pacing is bad. And so like that's where you're going to be able to clean it up for, you know. That in like every single time I'm just like destroyed when Murphy punches Dresden because it's just like because we've got his perspective, obviously. So we're in his corner and it's like, Murphy, you're being dumb. And luckily she gets out of it eventually. But, you know, it's rough, man. So
I mean, it's proof is as soon as he started explaining to her, she just accepted and started working with him instead of against him. All he needed to do was start explaining himself.
And I want to see how we could capture that in the show, though, too. Right. Yeah. Like, I want you to feel like, wait a minute, aren't they supposed to be friends? What's going on here? Whatever, you know, or
actually hire someone who's like 6'6" and 5 foot nothing. And that way, when he's talking to her, he's literally talking past her in every scene because he's looking at the wall and he's not looking down.
Sure. I mean, OK. But yeah, like setting her up as like a minor antagonist for, you know, book two and three, especially, you know, is going to be, that'll be good, I think. So
yeah, it's so like next book time one is we'll start book with one neutral until two. The end, book two bad, book three is kind of like, because she does still call him in for the, you know, was it Mickey Malone stuff?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So. Yeah, she's how he gets into that. So yeah.
So we'll, at the end of this, Justin will storyboard the whole thing.
Yeah, well, I'm definitely thinking like maybe I'll actually put in some research and whatever and go through, you know, some of the high points for the books. And then we could be like, this is what we want to do for episode two and three and then move on with it. Like, it doesn't have to be an hour long discussion per episode. But,
you know, no,
I mean, obviously, episode, that would keep us busy for the next 15 years until the books are done.
This is fun. I feel like this is just kind of good mental practice about things. And so I'd like to do this for a lot. All right. This is going to be 100 episodes of how we're going to storyboard and pace the TV show that we don't have ever the money to do.
Well, until Andreas' government funds it for us. But then we're going to have to do it all in, like, fucking Swedish.
Oh, but we'll be able to have, like, you know, Mads Mikkelsen be the bad guy. And
we'll just make him Marcone. And then we get to have him all the time.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
It's no, you make him Marcone and Nicodemus so you can have him all. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That way, when he's like, when we get to Small Favor, and we can make everyone confused about him kidnapping himself.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Can we do that next episode? Can we just do the all Norwegian casting of Harry Tristan so that we could just have the right people in the right place?
My name is Gunnar Gunnarsson.
No, but I mean, like, I can't. There's too many Mikkelsons and too many related names too. And stuff. So it's like, well, yeah, but what's the other one where it's like him and all of his kids and like
Skarsgård.
The kid who was Skarsgård. There you go. So it's
Well, there's like three Skarsgårds and they're not. No, all
there's,
related
there's
to
like
each other.
Eight, but like three or four of them are like actually actors and then the
kind of like the Baldwins, where it's just like there's five of them, but then there's another family of three or whatever. You know,
yeah,
I don't think she actually is, but we have to throw in Tilda Swinton because she's just
yes,
fits that vibe.
She would look the part.
Being...
So. Sure, she's Mads.
That's exactly where I was. Like she's the creepy.
She's been my pick for Mab for years.
I was gonna say I would rather her be Leah if she has to be anyone because I think she could pull off the. I think she could pull off the crazy part of her later better than just being stone cold the whole time.
Like just imagine the glee that she gets when Mab tells her to indulge herself. You know, so
yeah. One Tilda Swinton can do both Leah and Mab. I'm perfectly
which
confident.
Means Titania. So
yeah, so three people. And then or Jessica Chastain as Leah because it's like I think she could also do that, but
which I
you
feel
just
like
want a redhead
up to well
she's
obviously
redhead,
and Leah is yeah
come on
like
I know but now we're just going back to a casting episode
right
which we've done
which
like
we said was gonna eventually happen anyway but
yeah who's in our arsenal
it's I not an arsenal if we just keep repeating things.
I need to see her with a butcher knife and then we can decide if Jessica's gonna be enough. I don't know.
I am watch sure Crimson she's Peak. Done that at some point.
Is she? Okay. So.
Okay.
Well, this has been whatever it is.
This was all Justin's idea. He isn't all of the credit welcome. And all of the blame goes to him.
Yeah.
All right, Justin.
I'm fine with it. I this might launch into a media career for who knows.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what's
if there happen. Are any talent scouts out there, then you can hire the three.
Then they're not watching us.
Hey, I got a hope and dream. Okay. So
no, you can do one or the other. Pick one.
Yeah.
All right.
So we have things because Andreas is not here to plug them.
Yeah. So next week on our while we're recording, which is just becoming our book club, we're doing Aeronauts Windlass, and we're going to talk about Jim's other series, and then Olympian Affairs coming out on November 7th, and so we're going to do Aeronauts, and then we're going to do Warrior Born, and then we're going to get into Olympian Affair, and
let's
enjoy that.
We're doing the first part of Aeronauts Windlass. There's no chance we're getting it all in one book.
It will be a book of multiple parts because now we don't exactly have a tight schedule to stick to like with Codex Lyra and we can breathe.
That's boring. You should be at a frantic sprinting pace.
I was. Was it
again?
I mean, oh God, don't do that.
You're making me weird, so you gotta run.
You first.
Yeah.
I don't have to run. Read. I'll get it done in a day. I won't be happy about it, but I'll do it.
All right. So next week we get to hear about why E.G. hates the book.